Welcome to the Church at South Edmonton's podcast. We hope you're encouraged and inspired to seek Christ through the message today.
Lord, you are above it all. You are above all kingdoms, all nations. Lord, that means that you are above all worry, all anxiety, all circumstance in our lives, Lord, that you are above it all. God, I pray this morning that everybody in this room would just trust you with that. They would just trust you with the plans that you have for them. God, I just want to thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that you are above it all, that we can rely on you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, church. Kids, you are allowed to leave now. You can take the chains off the doors. It's been a trend these last few weeks that we've been making a joke when the kids leave, so I thought I'd think of one. I love the tension in that moment when the person who's about to speak for the service and the kids are like holding onto their seats, ready to sprint out the room. And then when they say, "You're released," they're like, "Poof," they're out of here. And it's awesome. It makes me laugh every time. Well, good morning. My name is Derek. I'm the youth pastor here at Case. And I'm just so thankful that I have the opportunity this morning to, just bring the word this morning. And thank you. It's just such a privilege. So we're in our series of Lent. And so 2 weeks ago, we started off our series with Pastor Martin, and he taught on Jesus' baptism. And then last week, we heard from Chantel, and Chantel spoke about Jesus' temptation while he was in the desert, and he was tempted by Satan. And these are both amazing examples of who Jesus was. And there's this phrase that we've been using, that Jesus is not just the great exception, but he's the great example, the example by which we should live. So this week, we're actually going to be continuing in that series, but we're going to be talking about Jesus' teaching, Jesus as the teacher. Because Jesus had a lot to say. It's written all over the New Testament, all of the things that Jesus said. And he didn't just speak to large groups of people or in the synagogue. He actually spoke often and taught his disciples one-on-one. And also, to the other end of it, he spoke to thousands and thousands of people. In Matthew chapters 5 to 7, Jesus is speaking to thousands of people. It says that there was 5,000 men there, but that doesn't account for all the women and children. So it could have been 10, 15,000 people that were there. And throughout scripture, specifically in the New Testament, in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, Jesus has these recorded moments where he is speaking. And if anybody has heard of a red letter Bible, there's gonna be an image up there. A red letter Bible is, there's certain parts of it that are highlighted in red text. And those are the actual words that Jesus spoke. And if you were to flip through those books of the Bible, you would find that it's covered in red text throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That there's not a page that goes by where there's not a piece of red text. Because not only did Jesus say a lot, but what he said was so important. And people stopped and listened, and his disciples would write it down and record it. So often, before these pieces of red text, there's a question. Jesus is so often questioned by different people. He's questioned by people he runs into, meets for the first time, questioned by his disciples, but also questioned by people who were his enemy, people who wanted to trick him. The Pharisees often tried to ask Jesus a question to try and make him stumble, to try and make him say something blasphemous so that they could keep building that case so that he could go to trial. One of these questions was, It's found in Matthew 12. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Jesus just healed a man on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees were like, oh, can't do that. And then Jesus had to answer. He had to answer for the accusations that they were bringing him. But there's also examples of just his disciples asking him questions about, like, what do I do in this situation? One of the disciples asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive someone who sinned against me? And then there's everything in between. I know for me in my life, I don't think anybody who has a relationship with Jesus or not can ever say that they've gone through life without asking a single question. There's so many seasons in our life where we're just desperate for clarity and understanding. When just over a year ago, my son was born, you guys might have seen him walking around, his name's Thatcher, and he was really sick when he was born, and he had to stay in the hospital for a number of weeks after that. And I just remember sitting in the hospital all day long and asking God why. Asking God, what's going on? What's your plan? Tell me, or could you heal my son just right now? What are you doing, Lord? And we're no different, right? We ask questions. We ask God because we just don't know. We don't know the answer. But Jesus is a teacher. And the beautiful thing about Jesus' teachings is that actually he's already given us the answer to all of life's questions. That the answer to all of life's questions is written in the Bible. Jesus had something to say about everything that is in there. And it's not just by the things he said, but it's also by the way he lived that we can learn and that he taught us. Because when we follow in the way that he lived, and we believe in the truth that he taught, that's when we get to experience life with him. One of these examples where Jesus is teaching, we can find in John chapter 14. So, a little bit of context about this chapter before we read is, so just before this, Jesus is meeting with his disciples, and they are asking him questions. Jesus had also just finished prophesying about how Judas was going to betray him. And then during this conversation, Jesus says, I am leaving. I'm going somewhere. He tells his disciples this. And then Peter asks him a question. It's found in chapter 13, verse 36. Peter asks, Jesus, where are you going? And this is Jesus' response to that question. So first we're going to read chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. Let your hearts not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? So what Jesus is saying there is that I've told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. I've told you that I'm going. Don't worry. Trust me. What I said before, just then, is not just changed now. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Right? So Jesus responds to Peter's question with encouragement. He's like, it's okay, don't worry. I have a plan. This is all part of the plan. This is God's will. But that answer is just not quite enough for the disciples. They want a bit more information. So Thomas asks a follow-up question, starting in verse 5. So Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So Jesus is saying here that you have seen me, therefore you've seen my Father. Where I'm going, I'll bring you, and here's why. Because you've seen it already. But then there's just like, there's one more question. And I feel like I do this all the time whenever I'm working with even just questioning a friend or someone that I'm doing a project with, and they're telling me it's gonna be okay. It's all right, I'm handling it. And I'm like, oh, what about this though? One more thing. Because the information you gave me is not enough. I need a bit more. So Philip, starting in verse 8, asks a third question now. So Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. And that will be, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. Now this is a challenge. Jesus asks a third time, and so he challenges Philip. He says, Philip, look at what we've just done. We've been together for so long. Do you not understand what is happening? Why don't you trust me? And at the core of this teaching, at the core of Jesus' responses to these three questions, is one key verse in verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Now, when Jesus uses this phrasing, I am, he's actually using this word very, very intentionally. And it's a reference back all the way to Exodus 3:14, when Moses encounters God at the burning bush. And God gives himself a name, and that is, I am. In Exodus 3:14, it says, I am who I am. Tell the Israelites, I am has sent you. So when Jesus uses this word, the Jewish people know that Jesus is making a claim here. He's not just saying, I'm a good guy, listen to me. He's saying, I actually am God. I am the one who is here to deliver you and bring you into salvation. Jesus, and the phrase Jesus uses, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 14:12, Jesus kind of shows an example of what it means and what it looks like to follow in his ways. So we look at the way first. So John 14:12 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whoever believes in Jesus will do immeasurably greater things through him. And that's life with Jesus. Follow in the ways of Jesus. But also, if you are someone who is making a decision, you're like, should I go this way? Should I go that way? If you look for where Jesus is, that's the way you should go. Because Jesus says, I am the way. I can also show you the way. And then we look at the truth. So Jesus says, I am the truth. In John 1:1, John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Later on, just a few verses later in verse 14, it says the Word became flesh. Jesus, the living, breathing fulfillment of the Holy Scriptures, came down and fully realized everything that had been written before. He is truth. There's a funny thing about truth. I feel that so often, especially in people that I meet or people that I see online, there's this temptation, there's this desire to make sense of Scripture and jam it into my life, my world. I don't want to change who I am. So therefore, I'm going to take what's true in the Bible and make it fit while ignoring parts of it. But the interesting thing about truth is that it can't change. And so if the Bible is true, if Jesus' word is true, why are we changing it? Why do we change it to make it fit, to make it make sense to us? When I first started to learn how to study the Bible, I encountered this tension where I started to read things in scripture that I was like, oh, I don't know if I like that. I don't know, like that doesn't make sense with the way that I'm living. And so I was so tempted to try and just find little bits somewhere else, or words that someone said online, or just influences from my peers to just be like, oh no, it's okay. You can just like omit this part. Or like, oh, it's just like that was written thousands of years ago. So like, don't worry about it. But the reality is that if Jesus is saying here that I am the truth, that his words are true, so it's probably us who needs to change. When we encounter truth, when we encounter what's true in the written word, why would we think, oh, let's just swap around, let's find a different translation, let's just make it work? We need to look at ourselves and be like, oh my goodness, this is true. I need to reorientate my life, stop contorting scripture to fit my worldview. So we looked at the way Jesus taught us to live. And he taught us to live a certain way by the way that he lived. He wanted us to be little examples, little replications of him. And then the truth, the things that he said, the words that he spoke. And when we embrace those two things, the way Jesus lived and the truth that he taught, his word becomes alive. We find in John 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so that they may have life and have it abundantly. See, it's not enough for God to be like, well, here's a creation, let's spin it into action and see what happens. He actually wants, he wants so badly for us to have a life that on our own strength we could not ever experience. God cannot just make things go. He wants us to have an intimate, personal relationship with him. That is so much more than just meandering our way through life. It is a life with God. John 4:14, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. God could provide you a drink, theoretically. A miracle could happen and water appears and you could drink it and your thirst would be quenched. I'm about to take a drink because my mouth is dry. Example. But what God wants for us is actually for us to have a drink of the water he gives us. And it becomes, we become overflowing, and it is just a constant infilling and outpouring of him, of just more of him. In John 11:25, this is when Jesus goes to Lazarus' tomb and he's going to resurrect Lazarus. So Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Now Jesus is also saying that I have the power to bring what was dead alive again. And some people here might be feeling like you don't have a flourishing experience with Holy Spirit, with Jesus. You don't have that alive relationship. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the perfect, full fulfillment of everything that's been written before and now. And he is the source of that fulfilled life. Now, this is just one example. This is John chapter 14. This is just one example of Jesus teaching the people who were following him. And it would be impossible to sum up in just a few minutes how much Jesus has, like the sum of his teachings. It'd be impossible to make sense of it all with just one church service. But I actually think that there's a point to that. Because there's no person, whether they're in church, online, at a conference, or a one-on-one conversation you're having, there is no one who can sum up and provide all the answers that you need for all of life's questions. It's actually written. If we go back to the slide of the red letter Bible, it's actually written on these pages. There is no question that you have in your life that cannot be found in here. Zero. And you might be saying, well, but what about this? And I'm like, no, it's not in there. It's not in the world. It's in there. And Jesus is saying here that I am the truth. So he is that word. He's not just merely someone who that story is about. He is that word. And when you see the word as the fullness of God, it becomes alive. It becomes something that can meet you exactly where you're at. Not something that you need to, you know, go to Bible school and understand and study. It's just something that is written for you to understand. And this is definitely easier said than done. Because when we're in those moments where we're just seeking the Lord and we're just like, what's going on? And we're reading it and maybe it's just not making sense. But my challenge to you this morning, if you're in a position where maybe you're kind of starting to want to deconstruct the word and fit it into your, like, whatever life that you're living right now. Or maybe you're someone who's just frustrated. You're just like, I don't know what's going on. I need help. Jesus challenges us not to just hear what he says, but to do what he says. Do not just become hearers of the word, but become doers of it. Because every page, you can go to Genesis 1 verse 1, Jesus is there. And then every page from all the way from there, all the way to Revelation, Jesus is on there. And so my challenge to you is just to go to his word with any question that you have in your life and consume it. Become a consumer of his word. Be obsessed with it. Find the answer. Find it. It's there. I promise you. And if you're sitting here also and you're like, it's not there, I challenge you. Find something. Find a question in the Bible and try to find that it's not there, because it is. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And before we go into this next time of worship, I want us to think, and I want us to turn our postures, turn our hearts towards God. Because Jesus says, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So turn your eyes towards him. Focus your attention and your emotions and any heartbreak, any frustrations, any anger towards him. Leave it at his feet. He wants to take it. And just surrender that all. I'm going to invite the congregation to stand. If you are a person here today who is just struggling with that, struggling with the word, struggling with the things that Jesus taught us, just repent right now. Repent of that. Turn back to Jesus. Don't keep digging yourself down into this pit of despair. There is just so much more life that God promises us when we live with him. And in order to live that life, we need to follow his ways, follow his example, believe the truth in what he said. And then we receive life. Life abundantly. A cup overflowing. And resurrection. You might feel dead this morning. Jesus wants you to come alive. Jesus has life for you. If that's something that you want to receive, just put your hands out like this as if you're receiving a gift. And I'm going to pray and then we're going to go into worship. Lord, thank you so much for who you are. God, you said in your word that I am. You are everything we need. It is not something that we need to strive to understand or work at understanding. It is something that you just are. And we can't change you. We can't change what you've said. And Lord, we repent of that right now. Repent of anything that we've done to try and change your word and make it make sense for us. God, you are a God of understanding, infinite knowledge. And God, I pray that anyone here who needs to surrender any of that, just surrender it now, Lord. Take it from them. Help them with it, Lord. Yeah, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this week's message, click subscribe. And if you'd like to check us out in person, check our website for times and location at thechurchse.com. Have a great week.